This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. If your path to success has been a long one, however you define success, then you should get to know Lee Fields, a veteran soul singer who's been walking his path for more than 50 years. That's Lee Fields and the Expressions with There Will Never Be Another You. His path was certainly not a straight line, starting in New York, striving for notoriety, at one point quitting music altogether. He sang early on with Kool & the Gang, and he helped launch the early careers of singers like Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley. Today, his old-school soul is reaching young new audiences. Fields has been sampled by popular artists like A$AP Rocky, J. Cole, and Travis Scott. He's played festivals like Bonnaroo and Coachella, and this summer, he'll be in Europe at the Firefly and Electric Forest festivals. His new album, It Rains Love, comes out next month. And he joins us now from NPR in New York. Lee Fields, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me, Joshua.
I wonder how, Lee, you view kind of where you are in your career right now. You've been at this game for 5 decades. You cut your first record in 1969. How does it feel to just kind of be where you are professionally right now?
Well, it feels great. I mean, with the young audience that's supporting us today, coming out and checking out our shows, the rap artists that are using our samples and then the records that we're selling is just magnificent. I mean, I'm totally elated.
As I understand, over your career, you've cut albums for at least 14 different labels. You've self-produced records, but your music was rediscovered by two young New Yorkers who heard your early work and reached out to you. Is that right?
That's correct. Let me tell you the story about these guys. I get a phone call, right, from what seemed to be a well-seasoned individuals. I thought they were around my age. They were talking about music that only people around my age would know about. This is like in the mid-90s. And they wanted to do a track. And those gentlemen... Our names are Gabriel Roth and Philip Lehman. And I thought these guys going to be well-seasoned older guys. And actually, I thought they were going to be black because they knew so much about soul music, you know. So we made a deal, and I went out to Long Island. And I got to the studio, and I knocked on the door. And to my surprise, man, I see these young kids, man. I mean, I didn't say anything, but I wanted to say, man, I thought you guys were going to be older. I said, but I didn't say anything, so I just went along with it. And they knew so much about who recorded this, what time, what sort of amps they were using. They knew everything. They were well on top of their game.
As I understand it, they just found your contact information in the phone book, knew your music, tracked you down. What was it that brought you two together? Like, what was it that they wanted to accomplish by working with you?
It was something in my voice. I was told that that they had to record me, that they really had a desire to record me. Matter of fact, I get told that all the time. I mean, like, from Martin Solveig to Bliss and Eso to... I do a lot of recording for a lot of people. But... whatever it is in my voice, I just hope it stays there.
Speaking of that voice, let's hear a little bit of it. This is a track from Lee Fields and the Expressions from the album My World. Here is Honey Dove.
My honey dove, I can't live without your love. Why can't we make it like it was? Oh, been all along. Waiting and waiting with my telephone. You never call, and girl, I'm so alone. You're hurting me, honey, right down to the bone. Ooh, baby, love.
That's Honey Dove from the album My World by Lee Fields and The Expressions. Lee, talk to us about who some of your musical influences were coming up.
Well, of course, Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. And I like Sam Cooke even after he went secular. But the songs that moved me the most were songs that he did with the Soul Stirrers, because from my early age, I was like torn between, what is this entity they calling God, and what is, why do people always talk about God, and then why do people always talking about, you know, the difference between the musics, you know, like, you know, either you're singing for the Lord or you're singing for the devil. You know, that's what I heard when I was growing up, you know.
You're either singing gospel or you're singing like blues and rock, and there was just no in between.
Yeah, yeah. They used term. The term was, hey, either you're singing for the Lord or you're singing for the devil. And of course, I mean, everybody want to go to heaven according to what they were saying, you know, what happens, the happenings in hell. Nobody want to go there. So I was sort of like wondering all of the time, and I hear this guy Sam Cooke, and I hear secular music, and it had me wondering from an early age, man. I mean, like, they did a number on my mind at an early age, you know, because, you know, Mama and Daddy were like church on Sunday, and then on Fridays and Saturdays they had this little thing at the house where they were like selling corn liquor and fish sandwiches and all of that stuff in order to buy. Really, what they really did with the money was bought a house for us, you know.
So they were kind of holding these speakeasies just to make ends meet.
Yeah, because there was no really gainful means of a person of color in North Carolina at that time, you know, except for those that had extremely good educations and probably had businesses or something, but the rest of us, man, it was nothing. It was nothing except, you know, sharecroppers and working at whatever jobs that was available at that time.
So that must have been a bit of a leap of faith, I imagine, coming up in North Carolina, growing up in the Jim Crow South with, you know, parents trying to make ends meet, to make the leap to go into music. What was it that made you decide that you were going to go for it?
Well, actually, my dream in my early years was not to, my dream was not to become a singer. My dream was to be a businessman, because I noticed that all of the people that had something substantial at that time, or either they were highly educated or they were business people. But most of my associates at an early age, man, families that I knew, man, we had nothing. So, but we lived good. I mean, Mama took care of us and Daddy took care of us, no doubt about it. But that longing for to have something made me want to be a businessman. I had no desire to become a singer. I mean, I love music, but what made me want to sing was after I won a talent show and I got hired from the band that was playing behind us. And at the time, I was a paper boy, and I could make more money in one night than I could all week. with the papers. A matter of fact, a lot more. And so, you know, a business decision, I mean, I'm making more money. I mean, it seemed like the right thing to do. And I wasn't doing things that, other than the idea of singing soul music. Because it always stayed on my mind, am I singing for the devil or am I singing for the Lord?
Well, you definitely kept singing, and I want to talk more about that singing career that you built when we continue our conversation with Lee Fields. His new album, It Rains Love, comes out next month. We'll talk more about his career, get to some of your questions and stories, and we'll hear some tracks from that project. Your What's Needed in My Life is what we're listening to as we take this break. Stay close.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from LegalZoom. Business owners can count on LegalZoom for legal advice and no surprises. Over 2 million business owners have trusted LegalZoom for LLCs, S-Corps, and DBAs. They've built a network of independent attorneys available in all 50 states, and LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews to bring you peace of mind. More information is available at LegalZoom.com/NPR.
This season on Invisibilia, should we empathize with our enemies?
Femoids should f***ing die.
Is it okay to have machines control our emotions?
I should be kind of creeped out, but at the same time, I'm like, well, thank God I live in this day and age.
No easy answers, just the right questions. Invisibilia, back on March 8th.
Back now to our conversation with soul musician Lee Fields. The new album is called It Rains Love. We'll get to some of your questions and comments in a moment. But one of the stories, Lee, that I wanted you to talk about a bit was leaving the South for Brooklyn in the 60s. And in that period, you collaborated and sang early on with Kool & the Gang. You were even lead singer for a little while, as I understand it. What was that like?
When I was with Kool & the Gang, I wasn't a part of the band. I was put in the band by their manager, Gene Redd, which he passed away soon afterwards. But I was like a front man. I was the vocalist for about 6 months. And I never got a chance to record with them. As I said, Gene passed away so early. So when he passed away, it's sort of whatever dream that he had putting me with them disappeared. But I learned a lot from those guys. Those guys were like way ahead of their time. They were like, I guess because Kool and Ronnie's daddy was a boxer, they were like really well prepared for the music world. They knew what they wanted. And I was amazed for guys to be that young because we was about 19. You know, I guess Kool and I about the same age. And for them to be so focused, man, they was really focused. So it was a learning experience. It was very quick. But until this very day, the discipline that they had, which I learned from, gave me the ability to hang on through the years, because they were way ahead of that time.
Right. So you sang with them, never got a chance to record, but still kind of, right. They kind of helped. It sounded like they helped focus you and discipline you as an artist.
They influenced me greatly.
Let me get to a few comments from some of our listeners. Sarah wrote on our Facebook page, "It's about time soul music came back around. Mavis Staples is playing in my city this month, and I'm surprised that none of my friends know who she is. Let's not wait until people are gone to recognize their great contributions to music." Anne in Detroit writes, "Lee Fields, such a favorite. Thank you for honoring such an incredible artist. His work makes my soul smile in these challenging times." Well, Anne, you just might enjoy one of the tracks from the new album. Let's hear a little bit of the title track from the new album called It Rains Love.
You're my son. When clouds roll through, it rains love. When I'm with you, I may not be the richest.
let love do the rest. It rains love when I'm with you. It rains love when I'm with you. You're my son.
Part of the title track from Lee Field's new album, It Rains Love. Lee, what's your vision for this album? What's the main thing you want people to take away from it?
Hopefully, I'm hoping that people get the message that love is the answer. We're living in very polarized, a very polarized time, and it's constantly being more polarizing. But togetherness and love of humankind, I believe, is the answer. So from this album, all of the songs are, the dream of mine was that it would rain actually love all over the world and everybody just get drenched in love and show more appreciation for humankind and opposed to just material things. So the whole album is about, it's about love. It could be love of your kids, love of your spouse, loving your neighbor is very important, you know, caring and having concerns about your neighbor. Because I believe that if they get just two things out of this album, that means to love your neighbor as yourself and love God, which I do believe God is real. And I think if you love God with all your heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself, I think most of the problems of the world today will be remedied.
It seems like there's, and one of our listeners talked about how it made her soul smile to hear soul music. That I wonder if you get the sense that that's part of what's turning people back towards the genre, is the desire to hear something that just sounds a little more loving.
Well, yeah, that, and also, soul music is exactly what it states to be. You know, it's about the spirit. Gospel music is singing about the when and the then, but soul music is singing about the here and the now and hoping that it would be pleasing to God. You know, but when they say that they get a joyful feeling out of soul music, it really warms my heart deeply.
Now, you face some challenging times making it as a soul musician, kind of staying in the business. In the 80s, as I understand it, you kind of felt like your time as a musician was kind of up. People weren't listening to soul anymore, at least the way you knew it. And you quit the industry. Did you ever think that you would come back to it?
No. Well, when I got to a point where I became a bit frustrated in the 80s, I found that I could do other things, you know, with real estate and still have pretty much a lucrative existence and being able to take care of my family. But there was always something missing. But I had not planned on coming back to it. I mean, I was dib-dabbing in music still, but I wasn't taking it really serious. And one day, we went over Newark, and I was telling the wife about there's a place over Newark that has like a three-family, it had three apartments on top and a storefront. Maybe we can take the storefront and turn it into a eatery, you know, selling fish sandwiches and the three apartments we'll rent out, and I think we can do very well. And she looked at me after I showed her the place, and we were sitting out in front of the place. She looked at me, and she said, I want to ask you something. What do you know about fish? You know, because I was planning on turning it into a fish restaurant where you can just get your sandwiches and go. She looked at me, and she said, what do you know about fish? And the only thing I can think of, I said, baby, they taste good. Man, and she said, you need to stick with what you know. And but I told her, I said at the time, though, the way music was made, they're no longer doing it that way. And she said, still, you should stick with what you know. Something gonna happen. And she seemed so sincere about that. So I went on and bought more equipment, and I got serious in it at the latter part of the 80s. And in the 90s, I started touring, and I never stopped.
Yeah, you cite your wife. You regularly cite your wife as central to kind of helping you through tough times. There's also a track on the album that is about her. Let's listen to a piece of the song, Blessed with the Best. Blessed with the Best, one of the new tracks by Lee Fields. I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A. Stay close.
How do we perceive our experience as humans? Who are we today, and who could we be tomorrow? I'm Guy Raz. On the TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey through the big ideas that animate our world. Each week, it's the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Back now to our conversation. Corey wrote on our Facebook page, I love hearing this conversation with Lee Fields. In the age of uninspiring modern pop music, I turned to classic R&B and soul in my mid-20s. These were the genres that truly flipped a switch in me to be a better musician and songwriter. Soul is all about the feeling. You need to truly feel the music to understand it. Carla wrote on our Facebook page, his voice has feeling. I love old school music because they use their voices and instruments to create their sound, unlike computers. Lee, I'd love your reaction to what Carla said. As I understand it, one of the things that has kind of made producers and artists gravitate back towards you is that you just kind of do it the old-fashioned way, that it's your voice, it doesn't have to be processed through a computer, and it's got a reality to it because it's really you singing.
Well, when you say the old-fashioned way, I believe sincerely that there is no new thing under the sun. All things that will be done have been done. So therefore, you can say we're sort of futuristic to a certain extent because I believe in the final analysis is going to be artificial intelligence versus actual human beings. And matter of fact, I think it's already happening. So, and opposed to, I like computerized music. Don't get me wrong now, because I worked with Martin Solveig and I did did three of his hits for him.
Yeah, Martin Solveig, the French DJ.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm very well up to speed in regard to how it's done. But there's nothing like looking while you're on stage around and seeing human beings making music. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. So, but, you know, however artists produce their music, I appreciate all forms, but that's just my thing. You know, I just love making music with human beings.
Well, you're getting a lot of love from our audience. Charlie emailed, Lee Fields is an Eastern North Carolina institution. His music has and always will bring people together. His music transcends race and class. And Andrew wrote us on Facebook, what? I didn't realize this was real time. That's right, Lee. Spread the love. I long for the days where the radio had soul music stations. Bring them back. Before I let you go, I did want to talk a little bit more about how you do your concerts. I understand that when you perform, and I haven't had the honor of seeing you perform live yet, but you have these suits that you are styling and gleaming when you are on the stage. Tell us a little bit about that before I have to let you go.
Well, first thing I would like to say about the suits, my wife, there she go again. She's a marvelous woman. She's so incredible. She's the one that she finds the material in regard to the type of image she want me to project on stage, and she picks out all of the suits. And matter of fact, I think she would have done well as a designer, because she's everything. Man, what else can I say?
But she gives you some real shine on stage. Like, you've got these metallic, stylish kind of suits that you use.
Oh yeah, thanks to her. Christine.
And what does that do for you when you're on stage, before we let you go?
Well, what it does, when I come out, I feel like I'm bringing my true personality out, because I do like to be a bit dapper, you know. And being dapper, knowing that I'm dressed properly, and let the music roll and try to sing with as much passion as I possibly can. Hey, man, I'm complete. That makes me complete.
Well, Lee Fields, I think that you have made a few new fans today that will be keeping an eye out for the new album called It Rains Love. That album comes out next month. Lee, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much, Joshua, for taking your time interviewing me today.
This conversation was produced by Bianca Martin and edited by Miranda Fulmore. To learn more about her and the rest of our team, visit theoneA.org/staff. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow for the Friday News Roundup. This is 1A.